I literally didn't have the influence around me of being an artist, and yet it was absolutely so passionate inside of me. And yet I kind of went dormant for years where I didn't, I was, you know, trying things here and there, but I really wasn't able to say I'm an artist.
Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan. Welcome, friends, to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artists, makers, and content creators, where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. I'm your host, Mike Brennan. You can connect with me over on Instagram. I'm at MikeBone. Or you can see some of my work at my website, which is mikebrennan.me. I'd also like to take this opportunity to invite you to our private Facebook community. There are all sorts of creatives over there, visual artists, musicians, I mean, you name it, they're there. And they're showing up, posting their work. And really the point of this community is to show up every single day and do something creative. Keep pushing towards your creative goals. Maybe you have a goal to launch a certain series or to see a certain body of work come to fruition. You know, that stuff doesn't happen on its own, right? You have to do the work. You have to show up every single day and put the time in, put the effort in. And sometimes you need that even to kind of figure out where you're going and to get some of that bad work out of the way first before you get to the really good stuff. So I'd love to see you in our community. It's called Daily Creative Habit. And if you go to dailycreativehabit.com, it'll forward you right to the request page to join our Facebook group. And I really hope to see you there. And if you have fellow creative people that are your friends, coworkers, whoever, invite them there as well. The more the merrier, right? We can all encourage each other on our creative journeys. Now for today's episode, I have a friend with me who I met maybe about a little over a year ago, Amy Hayde. And Amy Hayde is a glass artist. She does incredible work. We talk about her work in this episode, but really you need to go to her website, which we mention later on, and check out her work, because talking about it does not do justice. She does these incredible sculptures with like mosaic, and I mean, you really need to see this. But in this episode, we talk about just her journey. And you know, we all have those seasons in our lives where sometimes we take our creativity and we put it on a shelf for a little while. And thankfully, Amy came back to hers. You know, because every once in a while, maybe we're in that season of life where either someone is telling us we need to be more responsible, right? Instead of pursuing our creativity, or just life kind of demands that of us. Whatever the reasons, we put our creativity on a shelf. And sadly, many don't return to it, or don't return to it for a really long time. Maybe that's been your story. Well, I hope that Amy's story encourages you. And as a matter of fact, we talk about not only her journey and her story, but we talk about how this year, in the midst of the COVID pandemic, she actually had a grand opening for her new studio and shop in Arkansas. I mean, that's incredible. So we talk about why was this like the right time when so many things are closing down, there's so many people scaling back, and yet here she is advancing. And I love that. So we talk about that. We talk about just how she creates things. I know you're gonna enjoy Amy because she's just such an awesome person and personality, and you're going to be encouraged by her journey. So here is my creative chat with Amy Hayde. Well, Amy Hayde, thank you so much for spending this time today with us. I'm excited to speak with you.
I am excited to be here, Mike. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So we are friends, and I just love the fact that, you know, when I first met you, I could tell. I was like, you know what? I just dig your whole vibe. Unfortunately, people who are listening right now can't see you have a very colorful shirt on. You are just color and fire and just all about it. So I love that.
Well, you can't miss me coming. How about that? You know?
Awesome. Well, why don't you just take a moment and just let our listeners know kind of a snapshot. Who are you? What do you do?
Okay. Who is Amy Hayde, huh? Yes. Well, I'm first and foremost a Texan. You know, we always have to throw that out there. I actually live in Northwest Arkansas, and have opened my studio here in Arkansas. But yeah, I mean, in Texas, we kind of say the higher the hair, the closer to the God kind of thing. So we don't lack for, you know, a little bit of color in that. But I'm a glass artist is probably the best way to describe it. I know I do a lot of fine art mosaics, but sometimes when people think of mosaics, they think of cracked pots and, you know, something a little bit different. But I use a bunch of different types of Italian glass and smalti and filate and some wonderful things that you don't necessarily get to see in the United States. So I'm a singer as well and a little bit of a writer. That's kind of a new thing for me. So just opened up my second public studio in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. So we're excited to have the grand opening past us and had a really good turnout and really thankful for that. So
that's awesome. And we'll talk a little bit more about that too, for sure, in a little bit, just because opening up a studio, especially right now, I'm sure had to be an insane experience.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. COVID produced its own little, it was just its own animal, you know. It was definitely challenging for sure.
Yeah. So let's dial things back and let's revisit Amy as a child. How did creativity show up for you? Was there maybe a memory that you have that's like centered around either a certain creative expression or a game or a toy or something that just said to you, hey, I'm a creative person?
Yeah. You know, I had later heard something about at the age of eight, whatever your interests were, that might really tell what your heart was about. And that definitely rang true for me, because I just remember my first vivid memory of art was in West Texas. I was probably 8 or 9, and I just sketched all the time. I really wasn't from an artist family, so I didn't have influences that really started that for me. And so anything that sat still, I was sketching. And just, I was close to the New Mexico border, and so we saw all this beautiful jewelry and a lot of stained glass there. And my love for glass did not come till later, but I think that was kind of an imprint for me to be able to start with it, for sure. And so it just kind of evolved. I kept going through different mediums, and this one would come and go. You know how artists are. Let's sew. Let's do painting. So I moved around a lot as a kid. And so I think before Facebook, where you could kind of keep up with friends, that back and forth, I think art was always my constant. You know, it was always that thing that I held on to and was able to just bring that best friend with me wherever I went. So, so that later on down the road, glass was in my future, but I definitely had the love for that vivid color around the New Mexico border.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it's your physical surroundings, you know, the cultural influence on you of where you were definitely laid claim to that, I think. And, you know, it's always fun to explore that a little bit and see, you know, I've heard so many people say where you live, the community you're in and a part of, you know, has so much influence on you. And, you know, especially as artists, we want to be around places that appreciate the arts and where we can be inspired and not feel like we're, you know, someplace secluded and not with, you know, access to a community of people who are appreciating that and creating things themselves and then all inspiring each other and stuff. So I think it's cool that you were able to pick that up even at a young age, you know?
Absolutely. I know the ladies would bring their jewelry and they would all line out around the square in, you know, places like Santa Fe and things like that. And they would just, I was just in awe because I'd never seen anything like that before. And later, I was able to tour Europe and see the fine art mosaics. That really just, you know, rocked my world. I don't think I ever was thinking, oh, I can do this. You know, I think it was more so just that inspiration. You know how we have to have that, where we just need to take in things, and that it's like a seed that's planted and it roots, and it takes a while to kind of come out of us, for sure.
Yeah. So somebody listening right now may be in that place of, they're exploring, like you said, you know, they don't necessarily know this is the expression that they want to put their flag in the ground and say, this is it. So they're still exploring right now. How did that look for you as far as, like, was it random or was there a kind of a path that you followed as far as, you know, finding out, is this the thing that really resonates with me? Is this the thing I want to hang on to? And then ultimately led to the place where you are now. Like, talk a little bit about that journey.
Okay. You know, I think I had a little bit of people pleasing in me. I think I, with moving from town to town and not really having a true identity, there was a lot of my early years that I knew without a doubt that I was an artist, but I suppressed some of that because I think it's kind of hard to be that salmon swimming upstream and yeah, own it, you know. And so that might have, I have such a heart for young artists in that respect, because I literally didn't have the influence around me of being an artist, and yet it was absolutely so passionate inside of me. And yet I kind of went dormant for years where I didn't, I was, you know, trying things here and there, but I really wasn't able to say I'm an artist. And so I think being able to be around other artists was a huge factor of finding my tribe. You know, I didn't know these people before internet. We didn't even have that access to know that these people existed. Literally, it felt like you were in a kind of a surrounding where, okay, you're the only one that thinks this way, you know, right. And you take it for granted that you think this way, because you're thinking your friends, as you're describing something, they're thinking, I don't really understand that. But anyway, so I think just trusting my gut and finally walking forward and not being in fear, because I think I had a lot of fear at the beginning of my life of just not owning who I was and not stepping forward. And I think just that sense of play, to be able to feel free enough that if I throw this in the trash because I don't like it, we can do so much in our expectations of this has to be this beautiful piece of art. And
yeah,
I have a friend that is really good at that. She's just found a lot of different mediums that she's kind of playing around with. And so I think the best way is to just walk forward and try not to put expectations on the piece and be able to discover, because so much of it is inspiration and how we can be able to just, we really don't know the finished piece as it's going to evolve. And so you really have to trust that process and just know that I don't know the outcome of this and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And that's so difficult for so many people. And I mean, I talk to artists all the time that have said the same thing, where there is that fear of, I don't want to mess this up. And that perfectionist streak of, you know, I talk about this all the time with people and saying, you know, I refer to it as the masterpiece mentality, you know, where people sit down and they think, I need to produce this masterpiece in one sitting. And if I don't do that, then this is a complete failure. And, you know, I try to remind people of, like, even the things that we see from the masters, like, that's the highlight reel. You know, we talk about the highlight reel for social media. Well, you know, that's their highlight reel. A lot of times we're not seeing all the messed up ones, you know, artwork that they did, and the misfires and all the, you know, the things that led up to the masterpieces. And there needs to be that place where, you know, we see that and acknowledge that, and we embrace that for our own journeys, to say, if that's what comes out of this time, a masterpiece, then great. But I'm going to have the grace and the freedom to be able to approach it and not feel like everything is so precious and so fragile, because then we can't really dive in like we need to. And like you said, do the playing and the exploring.
Right.
That's so much a part of the process.
Right. And you've got to get beyond that, trying to make something to create. You know, I had my father was a businessman. And so it was all about, like, you know, who's going to buy that? Who's going to, and so I was in too much of my left brain. And I finally just, I've sold the best since I've just really done what's supposed to come out of me. And it's, that's a really fragile, vulnerable position to be in. I mean, it's kind of like having a baby and saying, do you think she's pretty? You know, and,
yeah.
and you know, some things that you have creatively feel really strange and you're thinking, it's very, can be very timid feeling, because it may not be something that's even in the world right now. So it's that ownership and that courage of being maybe scared to death, and yet I still have to do this. The muse has me, and I still have to get this out, you know, to the world. So,
Yeah. Do you find that there are things that you do that are solely for you, but that end up becoming something that somebody's like, ooh, I need more of that?
I really do. My steer, I know you've probably seen the steer that I did for the Gaylord Texan. I had always wanted to do that just like, as I would say, a soul goal. You know, I wanted to do it for my own soul. And their subject matter was going to match up with what he would have probably fit into. And so I actually did him and got approval for him to be in the exhibit. I choose 10 artists at the Gaylord Texan, 300,000 people see the piece, but he was chosen before I was finished with him. And he was my first dimensional piece I had ever done. And I went through moments of like sheer terror of, did I do this too early? Should I have just kept this for myself and completed this? So it really was kind of this conundrum I was in, because I was excited and thrilled to be a part of it. And yet I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, do I know how to put 15,000 pieces of stained glass on the steer and make this work? And will people love it? And, you know, all in one, I had all these emotions at once. So, but I look at that piece and I have such love for the process, because I literally work 15 hours a day sometimes, because I had such a deadline to get him finished. So that was a labor of love for me, for sure. As all of our art pieces are, but you know, it's kind of like you have those special times for sure.
Yeah. And those are the times usually that you are proving to yourself also that, you know what, this can actually happen.
Right.
And you rise to the challenge. And then all of a sudden you have a whole other set of skills and to be able to employ for future projects.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
it definitely ups your faith in yourself, because it did pivot my whole art focus. I really went a totally different direction after that. So I just really want to encourage anybody who is thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to go this direction or not. You know, just step into it. Just step into it and have the faith in yourself that, I'm a big believer in affirmations. Every morning and every night, I read my affirmations. And sometimes when we don't believe it ourselves, we just have to say it as if we think we really can do that, because it takes a lot of, you know, gumption to do what we do.
Absolutely. Yeah. What was the point at which you knew, okay, so this is my focus. This is the area where I really want to put my flag in the ground. Like I said, what did that look like for you? I mean, you kind of hinted at some things, but was there something, a catalyst that was important for you to say, here's the direction I'm heading?
I had a defining moment. I was working at the bank over 12 years ago, and I was just miserable. I was staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning, working on mosaics and then trying to work full time. And it was almost like I was asking God to take the dream away, because I was just so painfully needing, you know, I think I had suppressed, am an artist. And at that point I had really breathed into that. And so I couldn't see anything else but art. And so I had someone call the bank, and I was, you know, I just had a moment at lunch where I thought, okay, I'm going to do something different, but I don't know what's going to happen. And so someone had said, I'm a mosaic artist, and I've heard there's a mosaic artist here, and I'm trying to find her. And so I thought, okay, God, this is crazy, you know? And so I had been paying on some land that I had for, you know, years, and I finally sold it that next couple of weeks, and I just quit my job and I opened up my studio. It was like such a defining moment for me, because I knew I had to either step in or quit, you know? And so I just went, I kind of am a go big or go home girl anyway. And so it was just a total commit at that point. And after that, there was no way I could have ever not do art. You know, it just became, it just became total breath.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've heard other people tell some stories where they've had that moment where they're like so convinced that there's a tenacity and a stubbornness that arises. You know, even in my own story, I see that where it's kind of like, well, if it's not this, then I don't know what else it would be. And so therefore it has to be this.
Right.
And so you kind of put all your chips in and you say, I'm all in, right. Let's do this. And then you go, let's figure it out as we go.
It was a point of no return for sure. You know, yeah. I've heard about the arrow that's pulled away from its target. It's like it's got tension, but it also has momentum. You know, that was totally describing me at that moment, because there was no number two in my life of what, you know, well, I could do this and this. That was just it from a young age. That's all I ever wanted to do was be an artist. So,
yeah. So did you have immediate success in that, or what did that part of your journey look like?
I wouldn't say immediate. I think it was one of my friends said at the time, gosh, you're just being so creative right now. And it was one of those, I have to kind of things. And so sometimes the urgency really does bring on an enormous level of creativity because you're stepping into it. You know, at the time I didn't really look at it that way, but I had no choice but to go full fledged and just, you know, work really hard. And so I started doing some logo work and then picked up, you know, being able to do some work for entertainers. And so I did a couple pieces for Neil McCoy and Wade Bowen, which was just a huge honor for me. And so that really was where then I started having companies come find me. And again, I really grew more when I just finally went into not worrying what people were telling me I should be making, or what maybe the voice in my head was telling me I should create, and just tap into that center and hear the Holy Spirit and hear that muse of what is supposed to come out of you. And that's really kind of like a muscle that you just have to exercise. Because for me, it wasn't just like, okay, that's easy to hear. I had to really work on meditation and things like that to tap into that.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I could totally understand that for sure. Are there certain themes that you love to revisit? And if you do, like, what is it that keeps that fresh for you?
I think inspiration and looking at other things. I've really fallen head over heels in love with haute couture clothing. And for those people that aren't really familiar with that, it's really couture is a fitted gown or a fitted type of dress. Haute couture references things that are out of Paris, but it really is just the decadence and the eliteness of these gowns. I mean, it's just amazing how they put these gowns together and all the details. And that's really where I started. Just, oh my gosh, I could fall in love at a Christian Dior exhibit. You know, I just, the draping and everything floral, because I love, everybody that knows me knows I do anything floral. So I am in a huge transition right now because I'm going into dimensional pieces that are mimicking the feel of chiffon and organza with embroidery on top. And so I'm just head over heels in love with it. I've had it in my brain for quite a while, and now it's like, it's got to come out. It's time, you know? So I'm really excited about that.
Is that a scary thing to pivot into kind of a new expression like that? Because you're, you know, if you've built up a certain reputation and people know you as like, hey, you're doing this kind of work. And then all of a sudden to kind of step out at something new, I would imagine there might be a little bit of like, ooh, like, is this going to be received, or is this going to, like, you know, take me in a completely new direction where I'm no longer doing some of the other stuff,
right,
you know?
Right.
Is there any of that in your thoughts?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it is like starting over in some ways, as far as you think you have this vision and you're all excited in your head. And then I start making pieces and I'm going, oh, you know, hold my breath a little bit. And I think of Stephen Pressfield so much because The War of Art, his book, The War of Art, yes, really changed my life. And he talked about The Legend of Bagger Vance. You know, here's this novel about this golfer. And, you know, who wants to read that? But he said, you know, I had no choice. I had to get it out. And so I'm really at that same point with this. There's no doubt that it's where I'm supposed to go. Now, you know, I get nervous about each step. Am I going this way or that way? And so that present moment is really important to stay in so that I don't get so lost and so far ahead of myself. And so I do try to use meditation and prayer to, you know, just really try to see where I'm going. And yet there's this balance of, you can't get so inspired and stay here. You've got to move forward with it. And so it is really a dance, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing that for you as an artist, it's your growth. It's what's leading you to stay engaged with your creativity, to push into new areas. Because, you know, I think as artists, we always come to this place where once we've mastered something and we start to do a lot of work, produce a series or whatever it is around that work, there becomes a sense of like, okay, there's a little bit of old hat,
right,
you know,
right.
You know how to do that. You know how to, you know, and you want some new challenge. You want something that's going to engage you on a different level, and cause you again to introduce that play and experiments. And there's a sense of wonder, right, about the process. Even you're discovering so much, and that's what keeps you involved and keeps you engaged as an artist, right?
Absolutely. I love that description because, you know, people will say with me, you know, if you're putting 10,000 pieces of stained glass on a piece, they're saying, oh, you have such patience, which is hysterical to me because I'm so high wired that it's like, you know, a big joke that I do this. But so you're right. I have to have the creativity to mix it up and change it up. I can't really work on just one piece. And yet I can, it is like a type of therapy for me to go 12 hours, you know, and be able to just keep going, keep going, keep going. And I just get lost in it, you know? And so my wish for everyone is to find something like that, that they could get lost in, you know, because it is a beautiful, just a beautiful feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. So talk to us a little bit about your shop, you know, and your studio. So how did that come about? And give us a little context on that.
Okay. I'm from East Texas, but my family is from Northwest Arkansas. And so I made a big move back home, back to Northwest Arkansas. And so I found this beautiful building. It's right dead in the center of Siloam Springs, which if you haven't been to Siloam, I would really encourage someone to come see it. It's just the sweetest little area. It's, I live right off of downtown, and it's just it's a beautiful city. And so kind of close to Walmart country. And so we're about 40 minutes away from Bentonville, where the headquarters of Walmart is. So it's a wonderful space to be in. There was a lot of work to get the space ready for, it's my working studio, and then it's also my showroom. And so I have some of my large pieces there, and then I have a jewelry line that I have in there as well. So I'm looking forward to making an area that's kind of confined. I sculpt in polystyrene, and so it gets everywhere. It's messy. And so I'm wanting to set it up where people are going to be able to see me sculpt and be it interactive, even though they might not be in it, we can have a microphone where I can talk with them back and forth. So, I'm really excited about the space. I'm really excited about being close to Northwest Arkansas. We have some really great opportunities coming. And so it's just a matter of settling into everything, and grand opening is past us. So that's, I'm in a good spot right now. So,
yeah. How was this year the right time to do that? I mean, in the midst of everything else that was happening, you know, with COVID, you know, I think it's such a, you know, it's a time where people are scaling back, and people are, you know, unfortunately there's a lot of things closing down, and yet here you are advancing. I love that. But why was now like the right time to do that, do you think?
Well, you know, I'd had a life change, and it was really just God opened the doors for me to be here, and there was no other way for me to look at it but that. And so it was a scary time to do that. And I think it's one of those things where I have to, you know, watch myself on fear that I don't get caught up in it. When you feel like it's a calling, when you feel like it's that timing, you just kind of have to tune out the world and focus in on what, you know, Matt Tommy is a friend of ours, and he references,
he's been on the show.
He references the scripture, you know, what's in your hand. And so, you know, I really just had to tune out the world and just focus on what's in my hand. And I'm, you know, miss positive anyway, and so people give me, you know, hard time about that. But really, if you can just look at what is working and what's not working, you know, is irrelevant. So I really have been blessed. It is a time for artists right now. I think right now people need to see art and be able to have that joy in their life. And it's reminded me how important art is, because people really just need something to get their mind off of all of this.
Yeah. I heard earlier on somebody used the phrase, you know, and this went for COVID, but also I think can be applicable to any time you encounter opposition. And the phrase was, what does this make possible? And I really love that. And I embraced that the moment I heard it, because I said, you know what, that is the right way to look at things. That's the perspective that's needed. Because even though something may not look like what you thought it would look like, or there may seem to be a roadblock in the way, you look for a way forward, you look for a way around it, and you say, what does this make possible? And I think that's where sometimes even innovation is born, because if everything's going along the way that things always are, there's no need for the innovation. There's no, maybe sometimes there's no time for the innovation because you're so busy doing business as usual. And yet when you're forced to, you know, you're in a situation of have to, that's when you start exploring avenues of, okay, how do we make this work? And then sometimes people find solutions that, again, they maybe weren't even looking for earlier. And whole industries can change that way. I mean, we're seeing that even right now, you know, in the midst of what's happening. So I love that kind of perspective for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's true as artists, and really anything that we do, if not COVID, it'll be something else that's going to cause us to have to always be ready for change. And so you really are your happiest if you can just be that person that knows that it's going to happen and adjust and, you know, see where you're at and go from there. So it's just a part of life for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. What's been most surprising about your journey so far, do you think?
Oh, surprising. That's a good question.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. I think in it, I've found a lot more of my identity. I think I really have, I'd had some things that I'd gone through in life that have been really hard. And I think being able to get to the raw part of life, and it's just me and God, you know, really has caused me to learn who I am and heal parts of me. And because of that, my art has expanded because I have a truer identity, you know? So I think it's really hard in today's world to really be honorable to that side of us, because we can really get into this, even if we don't intentionally mean to do it, we can get into a rut where we just aren't present. We don't really know what we're about, and we don't sit back and ask ourselves the right questions to say, okay, am I aware of who I am, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's such a balance of pushing for what's next and what's over the horizon, your goals and your creative dreams, as well as then embracing what's before you and being filled with gratitude and celebrating what's happening in the moment. I know for me, that's a tremendous struggle. I have a tendency to always be looking towards what's next, And I don't celebrate the things as often as I should. And therefore, then I don't recognize even maybe sometimes how far I actually have come on my own journey.
That's right.
And that's the sad part, is that you miss out on that perspective sometimes, you know?
Absolutely. And I think my 90-day goals have helped me with that too. I was, you know, I laughed about how when they'll say, you know, you're new to art, you may make some bad art. Well, I kind of make some bad goals. You know, when I first started really being committed to 90-day goals, I was like a kid who was just learning how to ride a bike, you know, but that you can look back at those and go, wow. And you're right. We really don't stop enough to just go, okay. You know, I mean, when I built Maverick, which was a steer, you know, I had had something on Facebook that came up that was just a Tumblr that I had tried to do years ago. And I just laughed out loud because I was at the moment so frustrated about a particular problem I had with him. And I thought, girl, you know, you need to slow down and just stop and smell the roses a little bit.
Yeah. So one last question here for you. And that is, what is something that someone has told you, maybe a piece of advice that's really helped you in your creativity or in your business?
I think I think what Stephen Pressfield said was so important about resistance, because we're kind of always told that if that's not going well for you or it doesn't happen pretty quickly, you know, it's not for you. And he says the bigger that something's meant for you, the more resistance you're going to face. And so just look at it as it's a law of nature. That's just going to happen. And that just changed my life, because I thought, yeah, I mean, especially as artists, we don't have always people around us that can say, oh yeah, that's what would happen in an art career. There's a lot of, maybe you should just, you know, think about something more serious kind of talk around it.
Yeah.
And so just hearing someone say, you know, we know as artists how much it's in us, and so don't fight it, and do everything you can to support it in your own heart, be your own cheerleader, because there's days you're going to need that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good word for sure. Such good stuff. So Amy, where can people find you? How can they, I gotta say, people need to go to your website and look at the photos of your work, because us just talking about it is not doing it justice. People need to see the photos and, you know, and better than that, if they can go and see it in person, you know, because this work is incredible, and the scale and the intricacy is tremendous. So where can people at least have a little hint of what's going on in the world?
Well, thank you so much, Mike. My Instagram and Facebook and my website is all under Amy Haid Studio, and Haid is H-A-I-D, a little hard to hear. So, yeah.
Awesome. So I encourage everybody to make sure that you follow Amy, make sure that you support her, check out her artwork. And, you know, I know that there's even more great stuff coming for you, Amy. I know that, you know, we're going to see your stuff in so many new places and exciting places. And just to be able to keep tabs with you, to follow along your journey, it's a privilege. So, and I just love getting to hang out with you and talking with you. So thank you for this time today.
You're so great, Mike. I really appreciate the time with you. You and I, you know, clicked from the get go. So I really, absolutely, really enjoyed it.
Well, thanks again.
You bet.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.